Blog Talk Radio.
And this is Rob Rourke in Texas saying hello and howdy. Well, we've got 30 minutes to talk a little politics. But of course, remember, we'd like to hear what you have to say. Yes, and Ellington sends it so well. Like I said, I was trying to say, we'd like to hear what you have to say simply because that's what matters to us. And if you do want to call in, that phone number is 718-664-9825. And, well, we're going to talk some stuff today. We have a little bit of time. We're going to just kind of skim over a few things. First off, I'm on a LinkedIn.com discussion group on politics, and we were talking about, or they were talking about, the downside of minimum wage. Well, frankly, what I've seen is not really that interesting, or does not really provide any information to a downside. And I would say the only downside is to jump to this idea that minimum wage should be raised to $15. I say that for the basis that this basis. I'm an hourly wage employee. I work at a local grocery store chain, or a national grocery store chain. And, well, I can also say it's a little bit humorous, but it's also a little bit to the point. When I first told my daughter I was working for this grocery store, she asked me how much I made. I said to put a note to put a down payment on a small roast. Well, I could say it this way: I've been working there 8 years, and enough raises to get me to boost my income. I can now pay for that small roast. Now, all joking aside, minimum wage. Let's be honest: minimum wage is not designed as a livable salary. A second job, maybe, or a job for students who are out of school for the summer. But with the bickering in Washington and the way the economy has been changed and turned around from up one end and down the other, a lot of us have to get jobs that are hourly waged. A lot of us have college degrees. Because we're over the age of 35, and if we were laid off because of a bad economy, trying to find a good paying job, a livable salary job, it's not going to happen. And when I say I can't get an hourly wage, I mean I've got a one-bedroom apartment. Luckily, my employer I get a discount for being an employee. So I go and shop there very regularly. let me turn the music off. Stop. The point is, that is where a lot of this has been left out of discussion. How's it going to affect those established employees? And how is it going to encourage the new hires to actually earn it? And so, you know, I question that. I question it from that perspective. $15 an hour, I got a very bad vibe off of that. And if you got it, if you agree or much as disagree, give me a shout out at 718-664-9825. Give me a call. We have time to talk, and I'll be glad to hear what you have to say. And for all I know, you might actually get me to agree with you. So let me tell you where I stand, and I think this is a workable plan, a plan that makes sense. Okay, I am getting $10.85 an hour. So think about that. And I've been with this my employer for 8 years. Minimum wage goes up 15. Where am I in that mix? And where do I stand in comparison to a new hire? That's one thing to think about when you're talking about raising the minimum wage. That's one thing I'm looking at. And I think this is one plan that makes sense. I had a discussion with a union rep as to the minimum wage. And I think this is something to support. All new hires, and this is going from $7 an hour or even $7.25 to $10 an hour. And those who are established employees would be raised to $13.85 an hour, depending on their pay slot. And the union rep talked about it this way and said that they're trying to negotiate that into the collective bargaining agreement. Well, I think that's a way that makes sense. We cannot go and force, and then, you know, the next question to ask is, should the government set the precedence or let the businesses make the decision? I would say let the government lay down the framework, lay down the foundation for a higher minimum wage. Let them lay down the foundation. And then let the businesses work around that and build upon that. I think it will something that works. I mean, let's be real. Let's be real about this. Will $15 an hour pass? I don't think so. But will $10 an hour pass as a starting salary for new hires? Because we have to look at the idea of those who have been established in their jobs, who have been there, who have seniority. Where are they going to fit if new hires get more than they do or get equal to what they do? So we got to think about what we can raise it to for new hires, and we got to think about what in raising the hourly wage to something that in our seniority employees will get to earn in their due respect. That is something to look at. So if we say $10 an hour to start, and make that specific, to start, I mean, I would agree with that. I would propose that. I would support that. And I'd support the nominee of the party that says yes to that. Now, it's not saying I wouldn't support them in general, but the point is, this is an issue that I could say, yes, I'd support, and I'd support the nominee that says this. I'm being honest. I'm running for the Democratic nomination for the 22nd District. Would I support the nominee? Yes. I like Darren Moore. And you all know where I stand. And now what we've talked about. And I'm being, you know, like the slogan says, independent mind, Texas pride. Well, I'm going to say it right off. I've got an independent mind. I'm going to speak my thoughts. on this subject, I'm saying let's look at the idea of a $10 minimum on an hourly wage for those new hires. And for those who have seniority, you know, we're talking roughly a $3 increase. Well, depending on their times, their pay slot. I apologize for keep slipping up and saying time slot. But for their pay slot, like I'm making $10.85 an hour right now. So if that passes at $10 and we get new hires at $10 an hour, I would be raised to $13.85 an hour. That's workable. And that's what makes sense. Because that's just one fact. That's just one factor as to what goes into this. I mean, I've experienced... I'm sorry, I'm having a little problem with my hands-free device that wants to cling onto my hand. With me that keep adjusting it. Okay, hopefully that works. The point is, that's just one factor. Yeah, we're going to say prices are going to go up. Yeah, they will. But the question is, another question to ask is, what about jobs? Will there be more hired? Will there be more of employees losing their jobs? Again, this was not defined as a livable salary, or a livable salary based on an economy that at one time was enjoying the idea of a 40-hour work week. We need to bring back that 40-hour work week. And yes, does the minimum wage need to be raised? Yes, but at a reasonable rate that it can be increased, not just for the new hires, but for the established seniority employees, or employees with seniority. So, well, hey, I've talked enough about that. I'm going to take a swig of water. So I apologize for the interruption. Also, I was thinking about this. I ran an idea past the Missouri Democratic Club in Pearland, who meets at the Busy Bee Cafe every third Saturday of the month. Well, I had this idea. I just want to kind of see what they thought. I mean, if you have an opinion on that, please call me at 718-664-9825. If you have an opinion, period, please call. Pardon me. You know, we've all heard people talk about the idea of the top 1% paying a fair share, and some people actually defining that fair share as a 90% tax break, or tax bracket, I'm sorry. Paying 90% of their income to taxes. Well, I was given, and let me look it up real quick, some information from a friend about a group that talked about taxes and how much the top 1% make. And so I thought, what if the top 1% paid every year an increase of 1 to 2%. Well, let's go and increase it even further, 10 to 20%. And I heard this little bit of a rumbling. Well, it's already there. Well, my question was, is anything signed into law? No. The answer I got was no. But what I wanted... point I was trying to push was this. So a friend of mine, let me get backtracked just a little bit. group, and I just lost it. Basically, the top average and the top 1% pay $434,682 per tax cycle. So what if over a 10-year period that is increased by, let's say, a negotiable point of, let's say, 1 to 20% every year for a 10-year period, they pay somewhere in the range of 1 to 20% over each year for 10 years, and that from that top 1%. I think it'll stimulate the economy. John Kennedy did it. Evidence is showing that it would work. But think about what would work, what it could help pay for. The infrastructure. We can fix our infrastructure. We can make payments toward our debts. We could secure Social Security. Hey, remember, I'm not an economist. But the point is, we need to get something done. We don't just want to say, it's going to happen, or it's not my fault. We want to say, here's a framework. Let's build upon this. I mean, when I'm elected to Congress, I will go, if I have to go propose it myself or sponsor it myself, I will do it. One of the first things I will do is propose the idea of a percentage increase over a 10-year period for the top 1% to pay more in taxes. And to close loopholes, to be honest with you, close all loopholes. We need to fix the economy. We do not need to point fingers and say, it's not my fault, it's theirs. I want to at least say I tried. You know, I keep remembering the words of, here I am a Democrat and I can cite a Republican. Because he made a point. I say it for the fact that he made a point. Think of that. Why do people run for office? John Kasich of Ohio responded by saying, ask yourself two questions. Do you want to fix America, or do you want to just get elected? That's what we should think about when we're running for office. I don't know about my opponent in the Democratic primary, but I'll tell you one thing. I want to fix America. I want to fix it by increasing taxes on the top 1%. A workable and acceptable formula for that raising of taxes. Close all loopholes. I want to see our education redefined. I want to see it working. Given the fact that the teachers need to be more responsible for the implementation of their single framework, their standards, and their core curriculum. They need that. We need more teachers, period, but we need teachers that will go in and challenge students. We need less bureaucracy and less politics in education. In other words, we need to take the politics out of the classroom, period. That's what I want to fix. I believe in the idea of a border security. But how are we going to do it? We could do it by combining in each state along the southern border an office of first responders intelligence groups, or I don't want to say committee, but I can't think of a better way of doing it, made up of local, county, state, and federal law enforcement. Task groups, that's the word I'm thinking of, task groups. And we establish them along the border. They gather intelligence, pass it on from state to state. And they also help in the enforcement of border protection. We And to counteract that, you know, some people, and when it comes to immigration, they talk about, what about the people that are here? Well, think about this. What if all those small business establishments, and I propose this, and I've gotten fairly good response so far, because I've thought outside the box, I was told, set up or get tax incentives for basically encouraging those foreign nationals that they hire as employees to sign up for free naturalization classes. And for everyone they hire, they get a percentage on their taxes, a tax incentive on their taxes, or a tax break. And I know this, when you question, you're probably, some of you all are probably questioning, where would tax break, or where would the naturalization classes be? Well, here I am in Clear Lake, and a couple blocks away is I believe it's called the Freeman Library. They're offering that every couple, or for about 6 to 8 weeks, I believe it is. And it's free. All anyone has to do is sign up for the class and attend. And their bosses would get a tax incentive. And they would become U.S. citizens. We talk about, again, go back to, why does someone run for office? I want to fix America. Because I believe in what this country stands for. Is there anywhere else in this whole planet, this small planet that we all share, you can say that they stand up and stand by one word as a definition of what this country means? Is there? And that word is freedom. Wait a minute. excuse me, folks. Yes, the so-called summer allergies that we all share here in Southeast Texas. Oh, apologize. But that's the idea. We can be defined by one word. And that word is freedom. Freedom of voicing our opinion. Freedom to be able to stand up and say, I'm an American. I believe in certain things. I have a certain opinion. It's all distinguished by who you are. Can anyone else say that? Yes, we've had some bad times since the end of the Bush administration. And we've also have seen even worse times, worse bickering in Congress, between Congress and the White House, since Mr. Obama was elected. I think of it this way. While I didn't understand, I wanted to find out more about Mr. Obama back in 2008. I couldn't find that much. I started reading a book about him and his opinions. I'll be honest with you, in moving from point A to point B to point C, now at point D, I somehow mislaid that book. My opinion is, I think of it this way. As a history buff, one way Mr. Obama could be described could be like this. If he was playing, as president, he was playing, running the government as a game of Texas Hold'em. He probably would be defined as saying that he got one really bad hand and has been playing it since he was first elected and then reelected. He did the best he could with a very, very bad hand and very, and his opposition with a couple of aces up each sleeve. So, enough about where I, enough about me on that. Doing that little stump speech for the president. Let's talk. Let's go back to say what we were talking about, and that is, do you want to? Does a person want to run just to get elected, or do they want to run to fix America? You've heard what I've had to say, and I hope that you will take that into, because let me rephrase it. You've heard what I've had to say. You've also probably heard me say, vote for the person that makes the best argument. I am trying like anything to show you my argument is the best. And I will continue to do that. Whether I stumble over my tongue or not, I will continue to do that. So, well, we've got a couple minutes left. If you got an opinion, that number is 718-664-9825. Yes, 3 minutes left. Why do I feel with a feel like I'm no, I feel like I'm late in the fourth quarter, 70 yards to go, and it's third down and 12. No, I'm joking. It's third down and one. Well, if I was a Texan, I definitely would not throw or would not run the ball. No, they played very well Saturday night, and I was really impressed. I was really impressed with Brian Hoyer, and I was very much impressed with Ryan Mallett. The defense, yeah, I know they were not what we saw mostly on TV or and at the game was more along the lines of second and third team players scoring points. And when you can hold a San Francisco offense, even on the first series, first couple of series, to very little, you've done something. I was very impressed with them. Matter of fact, I still have half a pizza from Papa John's that I got for 50% off because of that win. So all I can see is come Denver, hey guys, I want another pizza. But hey, we got, we're getting down to the 90-second mark. So I'm going to say a couple of things, and we'll be signing off. Now, those who I've seen riding up and down El Dorado, or not just El Dorado, but El Camino Real and Bay Area Boulevard.
90.
I love you too, darling. And Clear Lake City Boulevard. Those of you on motorbikes, you give me the high sign, and I give it right back. If you're listening, or much of us have listened and heard what I've had to say and liked it, I'm going to ask you to join up with me on this campaign. Join Bikers for Bob 2016. Yes, join me, and let's make a new difference in Washington and in this country. Without your help, we'll probably be stuck with the same old, same old. But let's make a new difference, guys and gals. So if you want help, please do. And to a very special little lady in the Commonwealth of Virginia, Shortcake, just want to let you know your Papa Rob still loves you and misses you very, very much. Beyond that, I really don't know what else to say, kiddo, except that I love you. I always will. Please call in. And for the rest of you, thank you. We'll be on the air Thursday, same time. So do call in and enjoy. Have a nice day, folks. If it's going to rain, stay out of the rain. Otherwise, have a nice day. Bye.